joining us, and have a good day.
And now, it's your turn with Dave Mullarkey. 724-283-2525. It's Butler County's only live call-in talk show. It's your turn. Weekdays from 12:30 to 2 on 680 AM WISR and worldwide on the internet at WISR680.com. It's your turn. 724-283-2525. And now, it's your turn with Dave Mullarkey.
Well, good afternoon once again, everyone. Welcome. Nice to have you with us on the Wednesday edition of It's Your Turn. We're halfway through the week, especially now that we're into the early afternoon, because we're halfway through Wednesday. Halfway through the first week of October. I can't believe that it's the first week of October. I'm denying reality here, I guess. I don't know. You know, we can kid ourselves when it's September that we still got some summer left. And it was pretty easy this year because especially the last 2 weeks of September were blazing hot. Last week we were up near 90 every day. But once October arrives, and I know we've still got some pretty nice weather, but once October gets here, man, you can't kid yourself anymore, right? Yeah, it's it's the end. The end of summer. And actually, we're, a couple of weeks into autumn already now. The 22nd, I think, was the first day of autumn. There are still lots of great things to enjoy. By the way, open talk on the first portion of the program today. We will have guests later, and I'll tell you about them in just a moment or so. Still a lot of great things to enjoy. Sometimes you have to look a little bit. Sometimes you have to be ready to enjoy. I was driving to work this morning. Very early, pitch dark, of course, and all of a sudden, I came around a bend, and there was the most gorgeous full harvest moon I think I've ever seen. The moon was about to set. Moon set this morning was around 5:45, I think. So it was still up, but it was headed down. And when the full moon is close to the horizon, whether it's full moon rising or full moon setting, it looks bigger than it does when it's up in the sky. And there's some fancy astronomical term for that, parallax or something like that. I might not be quite right on that word. That's close. It makes it look bigger when it's down near the horizon, okay? And so there it was, slowly setting, and it was just this gorgeous red-orange color. More orange than red, just glowing. Full moon. Well, it was nice, yeah. And I slowed down and just looked at it as long as I could until I took another turn and it disappeared. So, I don't know. I checked it out. I can't remember. I think moon set is about the same time tomorrow morning. So, if you want to get up with me, I saw it this morning about 5:15. 5:15 this morning, but it did put a smile on my face. And by the way, I don't know what the weather's going to be like tonight. You just heard Tracy say we could get some showers late tonight. Moonrise is right around twilight time tonight, right around sunset. So shortly thereafter, if you happen to be out and about, you might be able to see the moon coming up, and maybe it'll be that golden orange harvest moon again. I plan to look for it. It's a gorgeous sight. Okay, so we take joy in simple things wherever we can find them this time of year, and especially with what's going on in the world, huh? And everybody's still talking about the horrible massacre in Las Vegas Sunday night, and trying to figure out what would ever possess this man to murder 58 people. I did watch a little bit of the news last night. We were talking about it yesterday on the program. And I'd mentioned I just couldn't watch the news too much on Monday night because it was, you know, it's just totally depressing. I watched a little bit last night, and there was a press conference with the the guy was called the Under Sheriff of Las Vegas, which is a term I never even heard of before. I guess it's like the deputy, but they don't use that term out there. The undersheriff, very impressive guy. And he clarified the death toll because there have been a couple of different numbers. 58 people murdered and the shooter. So that made 59 all told, counting him, who took his own life from what we know at this point. But, you know, horrible, horrible, obviously, situation. People still trying to deal with it. And the guns, you had, what did they say, 40-some guns in the hotel room. I saw another little piece last night. What a massive hotel room this was. Did you see any of that, Pat Parker? Pat Parker's engineering the program on the other side of the glass. I think I was watching CBS. I was flipping around last night just to get a little taste of the news. This is about 8 o'clock, I guess, 8:30. And I'm pretty sure it was CBS. They had a mock-up of the room. Incredible. But this is huge. I mean, to say suite doesn't really give you the whole impression. I mean, this was like an apartment up there on the 32nd floor. Several different rooms. Obviously, a whole bunch of windows. Some of them facing in different directions where this murderer shot out from. And the girlfriend is back in the United States. We were talking yesterday on the program about where we knew it was somewhere in Asia, Southeast Asia. The Philippines is where it turned out to be. We had, some folks thought it was Japan. Some folks thought it was Thailand. The Philippines. And she flew back into the United States, landed early this morning in Los Angeles, and is immediately probably still being questioned by the FBI. Open talk on the program, 283-2525 is our number, 283-2525. Open talk later on the program today. We're going to be talking about narcissism. You know what it is? Narcissism, self-love to an extreme, okay? Comes from Greek mythology. It's been in the news because there are a lot of folks who talk about President Trump as being narcissistic. And I'm pretty clear that he is. Not a clinical definition, but he exhibits all the signs of self-love and the world revolving around him and so on. Well, that's narcissism. We're going to talk about it today, but not that kind of narcissism. In fact, a kind that I've never even heard of before. We'll be talking later on the program today with Nancy Van Dyken, who is a clinical psychologist, by the way. So she knows about this stuff. Licensed independent social worker as well. She says almost all of us, not 100%, but many of us, the majority of us, actually have a bit of narcissism in us. But not this clinical narcissism, self-love to an excess, but what she calls, the term that she's come up with, everyday narcissism. So I thought it would be an interesting subject to explore. Probably most of us would not like to admit that, huh? What? Me? A narcissist? What are you talking about? Heavens. So we'll talk with Nancy about it a little bit later on the program today. Unfortunately, she's not in Butler, so we'll be hooking up with her. Not sure where she is. Minnesota, I think. Yeah, Minneapolis. Okay, that's later. And then still later on the program today, Amy Metrick joins us from Penn State Extension. She is a 4-H educator and director of youth development. And Amy will be with us to talk about an upcoming 4-H event here later this month, I believe. So she'll have all the details about that. That's our lineup of guests for later on the program today. But, as I said, open talk to begin with, 283-2525, our number, 283-2525. I saw one other thing on TV last night, because I was not familiar with a bump stock on a rifle. You know what that is, Pat? Have you heard it in the news? Bump stock? I heard it, too, and I didn't know what one looked like. I understood that somehow it made a semi-automatic weapon into a virtual automatic. And that's what this murderer had in Las Vegas. So there was, and I don't know, I may have flipped channels by that time, but there was a little feature on one of the TV channels. It's a device relatively inexpensive. This particular reporter said he went into a gun shop in Las Vegas, of all places, yesterday, and bought one. He said for, I think he said $22. And it attaches to the stock end of a rifle, the end that goes up against your shoulder. And then it extends out to the trigger area. And it makes a semi-automatic rifle function like an automatic. A machine gun, okay? A machine gun. And if you heard any of the audio from the massacre in Las Vegas, you know that that's, I mean, that's what it was. It sounded like a machine gun. Nobody could possibly pull the trigger that fast individually. Semi-automatic, you don't have to reload. Well, eventually you do, but you can just keep pulling the trigger as fast as you can, and it's a single shot. This bump stock, which I'd never seen before, makes a semi-automatic function like an automatic. Now, I don't know. I'm a gun owner. I used to be a hunter. I don't hunt anymore. But why someone would want one of these? First of all, why are they legal? If it's illegal to have an automatic weapon, if it's illegal to have a machine gun, why is it legal to buy this device for peanuts that makes it act like a... It just doesn't make any sense, to me, at least. 283-2525 is our number. It's open talk. Let's get to the people, see what they have to say. Hi there, caller. This is Dave Malarkey. Go right ahead. It's your turn.
You lit my fuse.
Yes.
Yes. Those things absolutely should be outlawed. And not only that, my husband was telling me, during World War II, the various combatants outlawed or agreed to not put silencers on their weapons, their high-powered weapons. Of course, that included a machine gun. And now our enlightened government right now are debating whether or not to allow silencers.
Yeah, that's apparently scheduled to come to a vote in Congress rather soon. Just when, I don't know. Maybe they're holding the vote for a while in the wake of what happened, but... What's the point of allowing silencers, anyway?
I have no clue, but I know that the gun lobby is all for it.
Well, I know, but I mean, I'm a serious question. I wasn't being, you know.
Yeah, I have no idea.
I wasn't trying to be smart. I don't know. I don't know what would be the purpose of it. If you,
yeah, I have no clue.
I mean, if you're hunting, it doesn't make any difference, does it? If you're hunting deer,
possibly. I mean, I suppose with a silencer on, you wouldn't scare the rest of the game. I don't know about that, but the whole idea is just insane. They were able to locate this fella. Well, I saw an interview with a fella that was in the hotel when that shooting began, and he said that he was a couple of floors away and could hear it and actually feel some of the vibration from that discharge. So
I saw that too. I saw that interview, yeah.
I think, and of course, as always, when one of these deadly shootings occurs, the word from the White House is now is not the time to have that conversation. So when is the time to have that conversation?
Yeah.
About restricting high-powered or these bumpers or any of that stuff.
I saw some footage last night, too, of this undersheriff in Las Vegas. Actually released, he had a compilation of body camera video from several police officers that they'd put together, and he showed about 3 or 4 minutes of that as they were crouching behind walls and so on, trying to figure out where the shots were coming from. And that's how they knew to crouch down, when they heard, you know, they heard the machine gun fire. Otherwise, they wouldn't have known the guy was firing.
That's sure.
You know?
Well, even with a a silencer on, there is a small noise, a very small noise. But yeah, they would have never. But except, I don't know if that fellow that they interviewed from the Mandalay Bay, if he called 911 and said, "Hey, there's something bad going on here," he may not have understood exactly what it was, but might have even thought it was an earthquake. But and they said that within like 10 minutes, someplace between 9 and 11 minutes from the first 911 call, that they were into that man's suite.
I found out a couple of other things, too. The killer, the mass murderer, shot a hotel security guard who approached his door.
Right.
Shot through the door and hit this guy who survives. And the other thing I saw, and I couldn't really believe this. It was, and I know now it was on CNN that I saw this particular interview because it was Anderson Cooper. He interviewed a guy whose wife died in his arms.
Yes, and, there were
and,
several.
I don't know. Maybe it's just me. I just thought that was totally inappropriate. I mean, this wife just died in his arms the day before, and Anderson Cooper is interviewing him. I mean, I don't know.
I'm sure the man agreed to the interview, maybe with the prospect of getting better a better handle on how horrific this kind of thing is. And I also saw an interview with a woman who stayed with a man who was critically injured, and she stayed with him, I guess, for several hours. He was from Canada, and he eventually died, but she stayed with him until the authorities came.
So here's the frustrating part. Probably nothing is going to be done about this. I mean, if we did nothing after Sandy Hook,
exactly,
when these little babies were murdered, kindergarten and first graders, if we did nothing then, if we did nothing after Orlando, what makes people think we're going to do something now?
The gun lobby insists that with more people carrying more guns, and that it would be a deterrent.
I saw.
I cannot believe that. That's insane.
I didn't see. I heard an interview with the Prime Minister of Great Britain, Theresa May. In fact, I heard it on WISR this morning on CBS on one of our network radios. United Kingdom, Great Britain, has not had a mass shooting in, it was either 20 or 30 years, I forget which one. It was a shooting at a school in Scotland where a guy had two handguns and two revolvers, no rifles. But and there were several children. It was at a school. And that prompted Britain to pass very strict gun laws. And they haven't had any mass shootings since then.
And you know those folks have rifles because you see the fox hunt on television.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they have sporting pieces, but let's get real. An AR-15 is not a sporting rifle.
Well, I'm not for. I think that the United Kingdom's gun law is too strict, and I don't think it would ever be approved in the United States. And I wouldn't agree with it, quite frankly, in the United States. It bans handguns too.
Okay.
Keeps track of how many guns people have. I don't buy that. But military assault-type weapons, what are we doing selling those in this country, really?
Absolutely.
Can't use them to hunt.
Crazy.
Right? I don't know. Thanks, my friend, for your call.
Thank you.
Good to talk with you. 283-2525 is the number, 283-2525. It's Open Talk. Hi, caller. This is Dave. Thanks for waiting. Go right ahead. It's your turn. You're on the air, sir.
I'm calling from a medical aspect of the shootings that have occurred.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I have been involved in nursing for many, many years and have been in touch with people that need mental health. And they're unable to get the help because it's not addressed through most of the insurance agencies as being something that they will pay for or pay very, very little. And are able to continue to receive any counseling because they have no insurance coverage for this.
You know, I didn't know that. That is news to me.
It's minimum coverage. Wow. Minimum coverage. And this needs to be looked into. A lot of these people have mental health deficits that are causing so much of this. Plus the fact, once they're 18, you as a parent have no control over them going for help. None. They're an adult, and you can't find things out at all of their mental condition, even if they go for help.
Mm-hmm. So when they're under 18, you can make sure that they get help if they need it, is that what you're saying? But you have no control over them after they are over the age of 18? Okay.
Correct. If they say, I don't want my parent to know, then you don't even know if they're in the hospital.
I got you. Yeah.
And not only that, the ones that are younger, like I said, the insurance is very poor for mental health problems. Very poor. Hmm. And it needs to be addressed. There are people that are scared living with their own children in their house because they have threatened to kill them. And they cannot have them involuntarily admitted because they haven't harmed them yet and they haven't harmed themselves.
Hmm. Yeah,
so you live with this the fear day to day.
So you got to wait until they do something before you can...
Right.
So
this gentleman obviously at some point must have shown some kind of derangement to plan this.
This is the big mystery about this guy. You know, he was rich. He was a high-stakes gambler, a high roller in Vegas. Not just a gambler, but big-time gambler. He owned a couple of homes, I understand. He was a real estate investor. He didn't, at least at this stage, what we know, it didn't seem to fit any of the... profiles, you know, for somebody who does something like this. You can't say that the guy snapped. Obviously, he planned this for weeks, maybe months. Who knows? You know, this wasn't.
But they did say he was a loner. No. He had a girlfriend, but did not seem to keep in, touch much with the family. And they said numerous times that he was a loner, which may indicate something, but nobody saw it. I can't say you see everything. But I do know that there are some that need help but cannot afford to get it.
I appreciate you calling with that information because that was something that I did not know.
Yes, it's a little scary.
It is. Thanks much for your call, ma'am. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thanks. Bye.
283-2525 is our number. It's Open Talk, 283-2525. Hopefully it's helpful that we talk about this. And, you know, I know so many people who it's not good to keep it pent up inside yourself. Let's talk about it. Caller, still there? Thought there was a caller there. But we lost them, or her, whoever. Okay. I'm sorry if something happened there. I didn't do anything at my end, but phone number is 283-2525 if you want to chat with us, share your thoughts. 283-2525. I also heard a story on CBS Radio this morning that this guy, the mass murderer, had purchased most of these rifles within the past year. And because they've checked the records through the Bureau of Tobacco and Firearms or something like that, whatever that federal agency is. And, most of them through the past year, there was a CBS reporter who interviewed a spokesperson for the, Bureau and said, well, didn't it raise a red flag that this guy bought so many guns over the course of a year's time? I said, well, he bought them one at a time, and that's perfectly legal and raises no red flag. And it is perfectly legal. And there are a lot of gun collectors, a lot of people who have a lot of guns. And that's not out of the ordinary, and it's not illegal in this country. What about stockpiling ammunition, though? Is that something we ought to keep better track of? somebody is buying ammo hand over fist, which this guy also was doing. Should that be a red flag? I don't know. I'm not a gun collector, although I am a gun owner. So I don't know. I think most gun collectors, I would think, that they collect them for, well, some of them are pretty valuable, you know, especially after you've had them for a while. And I imagine that a lot of them don't shoot these weapons. If you're a gun collector, you either collect them for their value, or that's your hobby, or you collect them for some other purpose, but I don't think that they're probably not used a lot, right? I don't know. I don't do that, so I don't know. 283-2525 is our number. It's Open Talk on the program today. 283-2525. Open Talk here on It's Your Turn today. We have not mentioned, I guess we have not had a chance. We've been busy talking about other stuff, and obviously this massacre in Las Vegas is has just taken center stage for everyone. It's hard to get it out of your mind, even if you try to. The death of Hugh Hefner last week. He died, I don't know, Wednesday, I think. Tuesday, Wednesday. Was announced in the news. Saw a Wire story, AP story, where a woman said she found it disgusting, all of the accolades that were being poured out about Hugh Hefner on social media. Now, I don't read a whole lot of social media because mostly I think it's junk. It's vulgar and a lot of cuss words and, it's just, I can't waste my time, quite frankly. But apparently a lot of accolades poured out for this guy in the wake of his death. And she said, well, you know, the guy denigrated women, subjugated women, putting these nude pictures in his magazine. Having women, can you imagine having women wear a bunny tail around in a club? I mean, I agree with her. You know, I agree with her. In fact, I thought Hugh Hefner was a pathetic lizard for the latter part of his life. Going around in his pajamas all the time with a captain's hat on and a pipe and a smoke. I mean, what a goofball. I just thought it was pathetic. Now, I don't speak ill of the dead, you know. God rest his soul. But I certainly don't have anything good to say about him and his death. 283-2525 is our number. 283-2525. Open Talk on this segment of the program. We need to take a break. So let us do that, and we shall return here on WISR with more of our Wednesday program coming up for you in just a minute here. One of our sponsors on the program today is Hearing Aid Service by Kelly. Have you heard about this yet? Hearing Aid Service by Kelly. Personalized one-on-one care. You know, there's a lot of baby boomers now. I last saw the number, I forget how many thousand Americans are turning 65 every day. A lot of baby boomers, and this is a time of your life when, you know, many folks need help with their hearing. Hearing Aid Service by Kelly offers personalized one-on-one care. Your hearing aid will actually be measured to fit your ear. And Kelly will take the time to make sure that everything is just the way you want it, certainly from a hearing standpoint as well as from a comfort standpoint, because that's a concern from some folks. They get a hearing aid and they can't stand it. Kelly is interested in helping you, not interested in selling you the highest priced hearing aid. In fact, you'll save thousands because there's no overhead. And you heard that correctly, by the way, thousands. Complimentary consultation. People who have made the change or people who have consulted with Kelly are so happy that they did. She's the hearing aid lady. Kelly, the hearing aid lady. Here's the phone number. Give her a call. 724-756-4327. Kelly, K-E-L-L-I-E. Kelly, the hearing aid lady, 724-756-4327 for one-on-one personalized care.
Looking for a way to make your company's benefit package a little more competitive? Here's one that's so easy, more than 130 local organizations and businesses have added it to their programs. Membership in Armco Credit Union. At Armco Credit Union, your employees will have access to the best loan rates and more free banking services, while direct deposit and payroll deduction options make it convenient for both of you. And best of all, it doesn't cost you a thing. Learn more at armcocu.com or by calling 284-2020. Armco Credit Union is an equal opportunity lender and is insured by NCUA.
Coming up on the program tomorrow, we have an Ask the Lawyer Day on the program tomorrow. That's one of our more popular features, which we do several times a year here on the It's Your Turn program in cooperation with the Butler County Bar Association. And local attorney Julie Anderson will be with us here in the studio tomorrow. So Ask the Lawyer, Julie Anderson, here tomorrow. And also with us tomorrow will be guests from the Musical Theater Guild's upcoming production of Beauty and the Beast. That's the fall show of the Musical Theater Guild of Butler, which is next week, not this weekend, the following weekend, I believe. Yeah, following weekend, right? Well, we'll get the details tomorrow because we'll have some folks who are part of the staff with us tomorrow. In addition to attorney Julie Anderson. So, good program tomorrow. Something else I wanted to tell you, and what is it here before we hook up with our first guest today, Nancy Van Dyken? Oh, there's a column on technology that I like to catch in the Post-Gazette once a week, I think it is. And the author calls himself Tech Man. Have you ever read the thing? Sometimes it's a little deep if you're not a techie, and I certainly am not. But usually some good advice in there. And I had to laugh because in his article of yesterday, he talked about sometimes when your gadgets don't work, whether it's your laptop or your personal computer or whatever you have, sometimes the best thing you can do is turn it off, unplug it, and then turn it back on again. This guy is so knowledgeable on all this stuff, it's unbelievable. He said, sometimes if all else fails, that's the best thing that you can do. And I've done that on occasion with all of my devices. What worries me is this rapidly growing reliance on self-driven cars, because that's how they're operated, by computers. Okay, they got the radar sensors and all this stuff, and they're doing it. Uber's doing it in Pittsburgh. All the major car companies are working on prototypes. My question is, who has a device that's never popped up with the blue screen of death? It happens a lot. And we use computers here in a variety of different formats at the radio stations, a lot of them, and occasionally this happens. What happens when this happens to the computer in one of these cars or one of these self-driven tractor-trailer rigs? I haven't had anybody address that. And don't tell me that it won't happen or that it doesn't. It happens to everybody, right? It happens to everybody. Maybe just unplug it and plug it back in again. Of course, if it's cruising down the interstate, that's a little difficult to do. We take a break. When we come back, our first guest joins us today. The topic is narcissism. Our guest is Nancy Van Dyken. We'll talk to her on the telephone here on It's Your Turn on WISR in just a moment. Still later on the program today, Amy Metrick from Penn State Extension. So stick around. We have a lot more to come on the Wednesday edition.
Whether you're a backyard car fixer-upper or an auto repair shop, Milich Auto Wrecking is still the place to go for new and used auto and truck parts. They have been for over 40 years. And compared to factory prices, you'll save big bucks. Milich Auto Wrecking is neatly organized and will tell you immediately if they have the part or not. Open Monday through Thursday, 9 to 5. It's Milich Auto Wrecking, Route 38, the Oneida Valley Road. Look for the big black and red sign. Stop by or call 287-1001. And yes, old Uncle Fred still goes to Milich.
Hop the bus. Leave the driving up to us.
The bus.
We're going your way. Getting there stops here. Just hop the bus. Easy and economical. Just hop the bus. No car, no problem. The bus will get you there. 'Cause that's what we do. Hop the bus. Leave the driving up to us.
The bus.
We're going your way.
Listeners, interesting subject to talk about on the next segment of It's Your Turn here on WISR. If you're just joining us, that's fine. My name is Dave Malarkey. Our guest for this segment joins us by telephone. She is Nancy Van Dyken, and she's the author of a new book entitled Everyday Narcissism, Yours, Mine, and Ours. Yes, a fascinating subject to explore. Nancy Van Dyken, nice to meet you. Great to have you with us for a few minutes here today.
Yes, thank you for having me.
You talk about something in your book that I've never heard of before, and that's the fact that most of us, live with a form of narcissism. And I want to get to that in a few minutes. But first of all, let's make sure that all of our listeners are on the same page. If you were asked to give us a brief definition of narcissism, thumbnail sketch of just what we mean by narcissism, what would you say, Nancy?
Well, the kind of narcissism I'm talking about, everyday narcissism, is really about people like you, me, and your listeners. I'm not talking about a personality disorder that actually has a diagnosis. I'm talking about common, everyday folk. If you're wondering about narcissism per se, you would see a few characteristics such as being very self-centered, needing to be the center of attention, always needing to be right, perhaps short-fused, those sorts of things. But that's not what I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mention that because there are many people who have suggested that our president shows signs of narcissism, and some of those things you just mentioned, very self-centered, always has to be right, short-fused, that sort of thing. I'm sure you've heard this.
I certainly have. And one of the things that's happening today is that narcissism is a word that's being thrown out very easily. And I certainly wouldn't want to diagnose anybody without having them in that office and doing a thorough interview. But that is not really what my book is about at all.
Well, I just wanted to get it out of the way because I'm sure that popped into the heads of a lot of our listeners. And I appreciate your comment about never wanting to diagnose someone without having them into the office. And yes, listeners, a little bit about our guest, just so you know that she knows of what she speaks. And Nancy Van Dyken is a licensed psychologist and a licensed independent clinical social worker in Minneapolis. She specializes in counseling individuals, couples, parents, and teens with depression and anxiety. And she has helped people heal relationships of all kinds for many, many years, some 30 years. So that's who we're talking to today, and that's the author of Everyday Narcissism, Yours, Mine, and Ours. It's a paperback book, by the way. It's available, and it's an interesting read. What's this concept I mentioned at the beginning of our conversation, Nancy, that I'd never heard the phrase everyday narcissism? What do you mean by that?
That's something that I've coined, Dave. Everyday narcissism is a set of core beliefs that we hold to be true, that we are first taught under the age of 5, and that drive our behaviors, emotions, and thoughts for the rest of our lives. These core beliefs are simply lies, or myths, I call them in my book, which are reinforced daily, everywhere, and unfortunately create a great deal of hardship and heartache for many. The good news is that the wounds created by these lies can be healed and people can find peace and joy in their lives.
Now, you also say that most of us, most people, live with this sort of narcissism, but it's so deeply embedded that we don't even know that we have it. Wow.
Yes. It's so common. Let me give you an example, if I might. there are five myths. So you have a four-year-old girl whose grandparents are leaving the house, and her mom instructs her to go kiss her grandma goodbye, give her a hug and kiss her goodbye. And the four-year-old says, I don't want to. Grandma said something really mean to me, and I'm mad at her, and I don't want to. And mom says, now go give grandma a kiss goodbye, or she'll feel bad. So that's the first myth, which is, I'm responsible for and have the power to control how other people feel and behave. So now this four-year-old is being held responsible for how her grandma feels, understanding that the child is only four. Mm-hmm. And then if she doesn't do it, then her mother will be upset with her. So now she has to control her mother's anger. And she's already learned that if she upsets her mother, then her father gets upset. He doesn't want to have to deal with mother's being upset either. So at four, she's already learned, even though she's the younger, she has to take care of these three adults. She's also learned myth three, which is your needs are more important than mine. So what mom wants, which is for grandma to be hugged and kissed, overrides the little girl's need to hold a boundary and say, I don't want to. If a child says, I don't want to give her a hug goodbye, it's important that she learns she has control over her body and she can be told, well, you don't have to give her a hug and kiss goodbye if you don't feel like that. However, you need to go and say goodbye to her. But many of us were taught that how we feel and what we want as kids, it doesn't matter much. And the fifth myth of these five is, if I don't do all these things, follow all these myths, take care of all these people, then I'm not lovable and I'm not likable and I won't belong. Freud said our basic drive in life was to belong, and Adler in about 1918 said, no, our major drive in life, I mean, Freud said it was sex, and then Adler broke away and said, no, our major drive in life is that we want to belong, we want to fit in, we want to be liked. So as young children, we learn pretty quickly what we're supposed to do in order to get approval. And because that is such a basic need, we start to take on those lies and we live by them. And our friends live by them and the teachers live by them. And so we're taught it everywhere. It's just everywhere. It's just normal, unfortunately.
So what I'm getting from you then is, everyday narcissism, going back to childhood, but it doesn't necessarily have to be a couple or three really traumatic events. It can just be these, because what you described is very, very common, where parents, a very well-meaning parent, will say, oh, go hug your grandma.
Of course.
But over the course of a couple of years, still a young child, this would be reinforced until that's what you believe.
Exactly, and I'm glad you brought that up, Dave, because I call that experience is not a major trauma, like physical or sexual abuse, which mm-hmm. we know is wrong. It's even against the law. But this is what I call hazy trauma. It's just one paper cut after another, and one paper cut, and we all know how much paper cut hurts. And it's just one after another. And so we walk around with all these wounds, and these wounds get triggered by friends and family and children and neighbors all the time. And we don't understand how come we're having these really strong reactions when, in fact, these hazy wounds are getting triggered.
So
I'm glad you brought that up.
Yeah, because I think a lot of people would think it was, if not a singular traumatic event, you know, a couple of them that would manifest itself throughout our lives. Well, these little ones, these paper cuts, mm-hmm. if you will, nice analogy, they do manifest later in our lives. And here, listeners, is where, to me at least, we get to the meat and potatoes of why I find this book fascinating, because they can manifest later in our lives, and that can mean trouble with a relationship, with a partner, with a coworker, or with a family member, right?
Yes, exactly. So, for instance, let's say that you never felt hurt as a kid. You had to do that thing about wearing what mother wanted you to wear, your needs and wants don't count. Playing baseball when you really wanted to play hockey, your needs and wants don't count. That kind of thing happens over and over again. And so I think of a young man who came into my office, and he read the first part of my book before his next session. And he said, "Nancy, everyday narcissism is everywhere." I said, "Yes, that's correct. Once you identify with it, once you understand it, you'll see it everywhere." And he said, "Well, I was at school today." He was a school teacher. And I heard a teacher say to a student who hadn't done his homework, "Oh, I am so disappointed that your homework wasn't done." Mm-hmm. And, of course, the teacher was holding the child accountable for her feeling disappointed. So having read the book, his approach was very different when the child came into his room. And he said, "Jonathan, I'm really sorry you don't have your homework done. I'm concerned because that means when we go on to learn this new part of math, you're not going to understand how to do it because you didn't learn yesterday's." And you see what a different message that is. That's concern for the child rather than manipulation of the child.
Well, talk a little bit about recognition, because this is it's almost a little bit scary for me. I mean, can we recognize everyday
yes.
narcissism in ourselves? Do you talk about that in your book, Nancy?
Oh, yeah. It is so pervasive that once you read the book and you learn about all these examples, you will start to see it more and more clearly. The nice part is once you understand it, then you don't get caught up in when people want to blame you for how they feel. You can be very clear that it is not your responsibility, nor do you have the power to make somebody happy. Myth two is, well, if I'm busy making sure that you're happy or controlling your temper, such as the woman who's in an abusive relationship with a man, and he loses his temper, he will say things like, I specialize in working with this population, he may say things like, "Well, if you'd had dinner on the table, I wouldn't have gotten so angry at you."
Mm-hmm.
It's her fault that he got angry. So that's myth one, right? She's supposed to control his temper. So myth two is, well, if I'm busy trying to control your temper and making sure you're happy, then you have the power and responsibility to control how I feel and I behave. And so that's oftentimes what happens in couples or in relationships, is this blame of somebody else for how I feel or how I behave. I wouldn't have done that if you didn't do this. And the relief that people feel when they understand if somebody gets upset with them, that has nothing to do with them. I know that's a hard concept to take on. But if you get upset with me, that's about an old wound that just got triggered. That isn't about what I've done.
It sounds like if we're not aware of this, we don't understand this, that we may actually almost demand the impossible out of ourselves, which is, that's going to be the dog chasing its tail for all of our lives.
That's exactly right. Nice way to put it. And the same thing towards other people. We expect them to make us happy. And as I say to my clients all the time, you are the architect of your life. And you can make it anything you want. But if you're twiddling your thumbs, waiting for somebody else to change to make you happy, you're going to twiddle for a long time.
Hmm.
Your job is to figure out what you need and what you want and how you feel about things. But when you spent your life putting your needs on the back burner and everybody else matters, You spent your life trying to please other people so they like you. A lot of people don't even know what they want and what they need. One piece of homework I give people is to make a list of 15 things that they want just for themselves, not for their kids, not for their wife, not for the people at work, just for themselves. It might take some of my clients over 6 months to come up with 5 or 6. They're just not looking, we're not used to looking inward at ourselves because that's considered selfish.
Interesting, listeners. Fortunately, we have a few more minutes that we're able to chat with our guest, Nancy Van Dyken, author of Everyday Narcissism, Yours, Mine, and Ours. We have to take a quick break, though, so let's do that, and we'll be back to pick up our conversation with Nancy here on It's Your Turn on WISR in just a couple of minutes. The Young Funeral Home of Butler invites you to stop by their Jefferson Street location, downtown Butler, to talk about pre-arrangements. Not the easiest thing to do, but necessary. And the Young family will walk you through the process, making it very comfortable and really easy to take care of. You'll experience peace of mind knowing that your wishes and plans will be carried out to the last detail. Call the Young Funeral Home in Butler today to make an appointment with a member of the Young family. Generations of the Young family have been caring for generations of Butler families for well over 40 years. The Young Funeral Home, West Jefferson Street in Butler.
Tanglewood, your hometown center for entertainment, presents an evening of comedy and mystery Saturday, October 21st with Dial M for Murder, presented by Pittsburgh acting group Mystery's Most Wanted. You may remember it as a crime mystery film directed by Alfred Hitchcock. Doors open at 5 o'clock. Buffet dinner by Chef George at 6, showtime at 7. Only $25 per person. As always, it's BYOB. Reserve your tickets for Dial M for Murder at Tanglewood Center, 287-0021.
Welcome back. Joining us a little bit late on this segment of It's Your Turn here on WISR. That's fine. My name is Dave Mowarki. Our guest is Nancy Van Dyken. She joins us by telephone. She is, first of all, she is a licensed psychologist and licensed independent clinical social worker based up in Minneapolis. But for the purposes of our conversation today, she is the author of Everyday Narcissism, Yours, Mine, and Ours. You mentioned another concept in your book, Nancy, that I've not seen before. Of course, I'm not educated in this area. You talk about chronic passivity. What do you mean by that term, chronic passivity?
Well, some people lead a life of being passive. When they come into my office, I describe them as they're more like a leaf in a river, and the current of life takes them wherever the current goes. So that leaf might get stuck under a log, it might get slapped on a beach, might go down the river, and that's being passive. Passive people are prone to, they are conflict avoidant. They'll do anything to avoid conflict, so they don't stand up for what they want and what they need. They've learned those myths in spades. They've got them down pat, and so they don't really assert who they are, and they lose sight of who they are because they're so busy pleasing others. And many passive people end up being quite angry people because they keep everything inside.
Mm, yeah.
And so they get even. They express their anger more by pouting, short answers like, how are you, Dave? And the response is, fine. Did you do anything fun on your weekend? No. You're not going to get any answers out of them if they're mad at you.
Can we, if we have everyday narcissism, we don't recognize it, can we end up being ashamed of ourselves? Does that factor into this anywhere?
Yeah, excellent question. Well, if you spend your whole life learning that your needs don't matter, and that you better take care of and make everybody happy or you're not lovable, of course you're going to have a great deal of shame. There's a lot of shame tied in with everyday narcissism from one degree to another. I have a client, a very brilliant woman, a degree in engineering, very competent, very capable, but she has so much shame from her everyday narcissism that she's embarrassed to go check out her groceries at the grocery store because people will see who she is by what she buys. That's an extreme case. But we are really afraid to show people who we are. We are ashamed of who we are because we've learned that we can never do it quite right because we can't make all these people happy. And if we were good people and lovable people and worthwhile people, then we'd be able to do that.
You have healing activities, Nancy, in your book. Can you talk a little bit about some of those healing activities?
Oh, sure. One is I ask people to make a list every day to go to the back of the book and get a notebook to do the homework in and list how you feel every day reading the entire list and writing down the feelings for that day. Now, if your problem is at work, write down what did it feel like to be you at work, or if it's in your marriage, what has it felt like today to be in this marriage? But start to learn to look inward for your answers. That's one really significant piece, because if I don't know how I feel, I can't take care of how I feel. And most of us were never taught how to take care of our feelings. We were just taught to stuff them and please somebody else. Another common homework is to say no. It's really hard for many of us to say no, because we're afraid we'll displease somebody. Some people will say, well, I don't want to hurt their feelings. Well, I don't want to hurt their feelings is because if I hurt your feelings, you'll go away and you won't like me. But sometimes I'll give the homework, I'd like you to say, no, that won't work for me. Not no and give a lot of excuses, I'm too tired, I'm too busy. Because the implication is, well, I would if I could. We need to understand we have a right to say, no, I don't want to give Grandma a kiss goodbye. You know, the girl who doesn't learn to say, no, I don't want to, that won't work for me. When a young man at 15 or 16 wants to be sexual with her, she'll have a hard time saying, no, I don't want to. Because she's learned she has to please everybody, and she has to please boys. That's for darn sure. So I might work with somebody for 6 months to get them to say, no, that won't work for me, once a week. That's really hard for people to do, to just say no. And when you get really strong, you'll be able to say, no, I don't want to go to that restaurant, but how about if we go to this one?
There are other books on narcissism. This one is for the general reader, specifically addressing everyday narcissism in terms that, you know, the layperson can understand. Is that your target audience for this book,
yeah.
Nancy?
Yeah. We're all just trying to figure out life. And I don't judge anybody. The important piece is when they read the book, the propensity for parents is to go, oh, my gosh, I used to say that to my kids all the time. Oh, my gosh. But what you want to do is get your focus back on yourself. And as you understand your own everyday narcissism and heal it, you will parent in a much different way than you used to. And that will start to heal the child.
Is it ever too late to look back? I'm struck by these seemingly innocuous events, well-meaning in many cases from parents in childhood, that then manifest later in life. Is it ever too late? I mean, even people in their 50s, their 60s, their 70s, can they look back and realize that, you know, that this is the way they've been all their lives?
Yep. In the last year, I worked with two women who were in their early 70s and late 70s who were with abusive men. And they started to understand that their husband's anger was not their responsibility. They started to understand that they do matter and what they want does matter. And they were able to see that in childhood, it didn't matter. So we don't want to stay stuck in childhood. We want to change what we're doing today. Because you can't do anything about the past. Just learn from it. It's really important that we're gentle on ourselves and not blame ourselves or get mad at ourselves. Because we're all just trying our best to get through this life. There usually aren't Oh, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say I had one final question for you, and because our time begins to run short here. Your book features a foreword by Anne Catherine. Who's she, and why did you want her to write the foreword for your book?
Well, Anne Catherine is a best-selling author who has written numerous books on boundaries, and I think she's very knowledgeable in the area of what my book is about. And I was very pleased that she was willing to write a foreword for me.
And again, listeners, if you missed the first part of our conversation, Nancy's book, Everyday Narcissism, Yours, Mine, Ours. By the way, when you counsel people, the ours part there, the last word in your subtitle, do you sometimes counsel partners together?
Oh, yes. But what happens is I often work with them individually first so they start to understand their patterns in narcissism. Because if people get upset about something, a wound from childhood has just been triggered. So what happens in relationships is these wounds get triggered with no intent at all. Somebody isn't intending at all to step on a wound, but if couples get mad, it's usually one of their wounds that's gotten triggered. And so we start to look at those wounds and how they impact the relationship. The nice part about finding yourself getting annoyed or even angry is if you stay silent, there's instructions in the book to help you look at what wound just got triggered. What can I do to heal it today? How can I behave in this relationship to take care of that wound instead of waiting for my partner to take care of that wound?
Once again, listeners, yeah. this is not a book about narcissistic personality disorder, which is sometimes called clinical narcissism. This book has a different focus. It's for everyday folks. It's about a much more common problem, the everyday garden variety narcissism that our guest, Nancy Van Dyken, says almost everybody suffers from. She's the author of Everyday Narcissism, Yours, Mine, and Ours. Nancy Van Dyken, nice to meet you. This is a fascinating topic to explore. Thanks for being with us today.
Thanks for inviting me, Dave.
Is your book available at the regular sites, or do you have a website, or what's the deal on that, Nancy?
Yes, I have a website, nancyvandyken.com, and Barnes & Noble, Target, Amazon, several bookstores. You can get it in audio and Kindle as well.
Wonderful. Thanks again, Nancy. Nice to talk to you.
Yeah, thank you, Dave.
Sure. Hey, folks, have you heard about Going Postal Butler, your friendly neighborhood shipping center? Yeah, they're located just off Newcastle Road, Shockey Lane, right behind King's and Villa Grande. Going Postal Butler. They package your items for shipping. And that takes care of a situation that sometimes can be a real bother. You know, you got to get the wrapping paper, the string, the tape, whatever you need. They'll do it for you. And you can ship any way you want to, FedEx, UPS, U.S. Postal Service. They will package your items for shipping at Going Postal Butler. Other services they offer, copying, scanning, faxing, mailbox rentals, custom boxes. They have an official notary, also greeting cards, even a lottery agent. Going Postal Butler, 140 Shockey Lane. That's just off Newcastle Road, right behind King's and Villa Grande restaurants. It's in the Shockey mini storage area. For more information, give them a call, 724-841-0044. Going Postal Butler, your friendly neighborhood shipping center.
I can't remember the last time I went to the dentist. Now I'm too embarrassed to go because my teeth are in such bad condition.
Unfortunately, this person is not alone. Many folks put off going to the dentist because they fear being scolded for neglecting their teeth. This is Dr. Bob Todd with a special message. Dentistry today is faster, easier, and better than ever before. At our dental office, we don't believe in making you feel guilty, no matter how long it has been since you've seen a dentist. We know fear and embarrassment can cause a cycle of procrastination. If it has been years since you've been to the dentist, call us today. We will help put your mind at ease and bring your smile back to health.
If you hate going to the dentist but know you have a dental problem, help is only a phone call away. Dr. Bob Todd and his friendly dental team will answer all your questions and care for all your concerns. For complimentary information or to schedule an appointment at their Butler office on Evan City Road, please call 282-7774 or on the web at butlersmiles.com.
Welcome back, good friends, all of us who have at least some narcissism in us. Interesting topic to discuss there. More to come on It's Your Turn today. We'll meet our next guest in just a second. I do want to remind you that coming up tomorrow, we have an Ask the Lawyer Day, which we haven't had for a while. We do that several times a year through the good graces of the Butler County Bar Association. And tomorrow, attorney Julie Anderson will be with us, 12:30 on the program for Ask the Lawyer. Also tomorrow, we'll have guests from the Musical Theater Guild's upcoming production of Beauty and the Beast as another of our cultural groups gets ready to open up a new season, MTG, the Musical Theater Guild. Okay, that's coming up on tomorrow's program. Amy Metrick is here in the studio with us right now. She is the 4-H educator and youth development director for Penn State Extension here in Butler County. Amy, good to see you. Nice to have you with us today.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
And congratulations on your permanent appointment.
Thank you.
Yes, I know you're already doing that work for a while, but the paperwork has come through, I guess.
We officially got the title.
Yeah, well, that's excellent. Excellent. We want to talk a little bit about 4-H today here in Butler County. It's a very, very active, maybe more active than you would realize. And there's an event coming up to help benefit 4-H programs throughout the year. Tell us about that, Amy.
Yeah, on October 21st, we are having our 4-H benefit auction. It's going to be held at the Vagabonds in Lindora. And what it is kids go out and solicit donations from different businesses or families or things like that. Like this year, we have stuff such as bird feeders and bird seed. We have pumpkins. We have a dog basket, just all different kinds of things that are then auctioned off in a live auction. Mm-hmm. We also have a silent auction for some of the littler things. And then all the proceeds from that come back to 4-H here in Butler County and is used to send kids to state, local, and national events.
So the auction itself is open to the public. You don't have to have any connection to 4-H. You don't have to have a young person in 4-H. You don't have to know what the 4-H's are. You know, it's open to the public, right?
Yep, anybody can come. Yep, just bring your checkbook and we'll make sure you go home with something.
Have you done this before? No, no, you haven't because
yes.
You've just taken over as the 4-H extension educator. But the 4-H here in Butler County has done it before, right?
This is our 10th year. So this year, something new, we're going to have actually a meal available. You'll be able to get your meat, your potatoes, your vegetable, and have a sit-down meal if you choose to, and we'll also have the regular snacks and drinks and things like that if you don't need a full meal.
Well, that's good because, if you go to an auction, I'm not a real experienced auction goer, but I've been to a few. You like to kind of browse around. You like to, how do I put this politely? You like to snoop around a little bit before the auction gets underway, right? And you
very
say,
true.
Well, this I think is really good. This maybe I'm not so interested in. Oh, look at that over there. And you have plenty of time to do that, right?
Yeah, the doors will open at 4:30. Everything will be there. They'll be set up on tables with numbers on them. And you can take your catalog with you that you'll get whenever you get your buyer's number when you check in. And take that with you, go down the table and say, oh, hey, I like item number 2. I'll circle that one. You know, maybe mm-hmm. I'll get that. Or I like item number 103. I'll circle that one and try and get that.
So you get it because, we're going to have listeners who have never been to an auction before, especially a live auction. I think most
right.
everybody's been to an event where there's a silent auction and that's simply the item is displayed there and you can write your name and your bid down. Mm-hmm. There's usually a little pad of paper there. When you get to the end of the night, the bottom name with the highest bid is the winner. That's silent auction. Live auction is a different story. You've seen it on
different.
TV. Maybe they've never been to one before. Might be a little intimidated. No reason to be intimidated, right?
Nope. You just keep raising your hand, and they'll make sure you go home with something. So how it works is you'll get, whenever you check in, like I said, you'll get a bidder number. Take that with you to your seat. When you see the item you want up there, the auctioneer will start at a price. When it gets down to a price that you think, oh, hey, I can afford that and maybe a little bit more, mm-hmm. you just start bidding, and then they'll continue to up that bid until you and the person going against you, one of you gives up and one of you will go home with it.
Do you have, obviously you have a live auctioneer.
Mm-hmm. Yes, we're going to have 3. Two of them are great supporters of the 4-H, and the other one is a new auctioneer. He just graduated this spring. He's a 4-H alumni, so we're happy to have him back.
There's a real talent for that, you know.
There is.
Yeah. They're not going to talk so fast that I'm not able to understand them, right?
No, they're good. You'll be able to hear them.
Okay. Because they play that up on TV and in the movies.
Yes.
They talk so fast you can't understand what they're saying, and then you got these people who bid, you know, by, you know, they like raise their eyebrow or something like that, a little almost imperceptible nod of the head. It's a little bit different than that in real life.
Yep. No, they'll take care of you, and I'm sure there'll be people around you, too. If you're not sure what the price is right now, they'll be able to tell you.
I'm looking at the list of stuff. By the way, this is all cash and carry.
Correct. So,
as Amy said, bring a checkbook. Can you pay with check?
Pay with check or cash.
Okay, good. I'm looking down the list of stuff that you're going to have there. Wow. Landscaping and garden supplies.
Mm-hmm.
Some of those are useful this time of year if you're preparing your lawn or your garden for next growing season. Hardware items.
Mm-hmm. We have a, that I know of so far that I've seen, we have a couple, we have a wench, we have an attachment for a drill press, we have some ratchet straps, things like that.
Mm-hmm.
We also had somebody donate a saddle, a Western saddle for horses with the bridle and, I'm not good on my horse terms here, but the another part that goes with the saddle.
Don't look at me. I'm not a horse person either. By the way, ratchet straps. I saw a set of those for the first time. I was helping a friend of mine move a couple of weeks ago. And, you know, we had a bunch of people come in, you know, with their pickups and trailers and everything. And a couple of guys had brand new sets of these ratchet straps. Boy, are they ever handy.
They are slick.
I mean, I spent most of my life tying, you know, using a sash cord to tie stuff down on a bed of a truck or something like that. These ratchet straps are slick. Man.
Yes, they are.
Yeah. Okay. I got some of those. Didn't mean to interrupt you there.
That's all right.
Household items, like, I don't know, what kitchen?
Yeah, we have, I know of a dog basket that has all kind of dog treats in it, mm-hmm. some toys, some stuff to give it a bath. We have some purses. If some ladies are familiar with Vera Bradley, we have a few of those. We have some other name brand purses. We have, like I said, we have bird feeders. There is a family basket there that has all kinds of games, like a family game night. So there's a ton of stuff, and there's still stuff coming in. They have until Friday to turn stuff in.
Auto supplies?
Yes. Yeah, we have a winch for the front of a pickup truck or put on a trailer or whatever. All kinds of stuff like that.
Recreational items, maybe some sporting good items or something like that.
Yes, we have a whole basket of kid toys, so to speak, like sand toys, and has some balls and things like that in it.
Mm-hmm. Handmade crafts and decorative items. We are on the doorstep of the holiday season, after all.
Yes, I know there is one there that has a fall theme. It has some fall mugs in it, and in it, it has some gift cards for some different businesses, local businesses, and things like that. We also have gift cards just in general. The zoo donated to us, the Pittsburgh Symphony, the Butler Symphony, a lot of local businesses donated to us to let people come into their place for free.
A lot of gift certificates and tickets and stuff, huh?
Yeah.
Is there a charge to get in the door?
Nope, no charge to get in the door.
Okay.
The only thing you'll have to pay is if you
buy something.
Buy something, right.
If you're the successful bidder.
Exactly.
These are fun. You know, there's even, have you ever seen the TV show? It's not actually, I mean, it's like half an auction. It's like, I don't know, I guess at these storage pods or these storage places, I've never put anything in one of these, but apparently if you leave it in there past the, I don't know, the expiration date or whatever, I guess you sign up for so long. And anyway, you're done. You're out of there, and the owners of the place are able to sell your stuff.
Right.
And they, I don't know what it's called, but they have an auction where the people bid on these, unseen, by the way.
Right. You just don't know until you open the door. These you can see.
you'll be able to explore these items and look at them up close, because they'll all be there, right?
Correct. Mm-hmm. Yep, everything will be there.
Because it's cash and carry. You're going to walk home with it. Yeah, this all benefits a really, really good cause, folks. The public auction to benefit Butler County 4-H, which is 4-H has really morphed. It has really evolved over the past 10 or 15 years. I mean, there's still very much a farm component mm-hmm. to some of the 4-H clubs. That's what they're called, right? Clubs?
Correct.
Clubs.
Correct.
And you have like, I don't know.
We have 30 clubs here in Butler County.
30, so there's a lot. Some of them are farm-themed or agricultural life-themed. Others, you'd never know that it was 4-H, certainly not your grandfather's 4-H, like robotics and stuff like that, right?
We have robotics. We have a photography project. We have cooking, sewing, the animals, goats, sheep, pigs, cows, alpacas, poultry, woodworking, outdoor hiking. Pretty much, if you can think of something, we can find your project in it.
Mm-hmm. So if you went back a couple of generations, any young people, by the way, what is the age for 4-H?
You have to be 8 to 18 by January 1st of the current year.
Okay, so once you're past the age of 18, you're no longer eligible
correct.
To be 4-H.
Now, if you're like me and your birthday is the end of January and you turned 19 the end of January, you were 18 on January 1st, so you're still got one more year left.
Mm-hmm. So we're talking about young people here. Now, some obviously younger than others, but some are teenagers. If you went back a couple of generations, all 4-H members, where they either came from a family farm or they wanted to run a farm whenever they got out of school or whatever. That's not necessarily the case today at all.
No. I mean, that's a big part of our core group. It does have that agricultural background, but there are quite a few that do not. The robotics club, that is a club that is growing, and they're doing some pretty neat things, and they do stuff with computers and programming the robots and things like that. And even the cooking and sewing, a lot of those people still don't have that agricultural background, and they are learning how to do little things like put a button on a shirt, simple things that some people take for granted.
Simple for you, maybe.
Yeah.
You ought to see me try to do that. Were you a 4-H when you were a kid? Were you in 4-H, Amy Metrick?
I was, yes. I was in 4-H from the time I was 8 to 18.
Were you in multiple clubs?
I was in, my primary was showing hogs and sheep, but I was in the travel club. And when I was in the travel club, we got to go to Montana and Kansas and Tennessee.
Wait a minute. There's one I never heard of before. There's a travel club?
Yeah, a travel club. It's a little different nowadays simply because of all the different rules and things like that. But they take trips. Sometimes they go to Lancaster. They'll go up to Elk County or places like that and see different things within the tri-state area.
Hmm. That sounds pretty neat.
Yeah.
And you can, depending on your schedule, you can belong to multiple clubs. I've talked to 4-H'ers
yes.
who are in two, sometimes even three.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know where they get the time with the kids' schedules these days, but because this is not something that you, this is not just a time killer where, I'll do this. From what I understand, I was never in 4-H, but you have to keep a project book or like a journal, an official record of everything you did during the year in your particular club, is
that's
that right?
That's correct, yeah. For the animal projects, excuse me, they have to keep track of weights and have a budget and keep track of their feed records, things like that, when they vaccinated, all those things, and compile that into a book. And then for the sewing and cooking, they have different activities in their book that they have to complete by a certain time, and they have to make a final project at the end that they turn in.
Mm-hmm. So it's good training for, it's good leadership training.
Yes,
it's
record keeping.
Good training for responsibility, sometimes at that age, too responsible. Heck, I know a lot of adults who are not very responsible. So it's good training to be in 4-H. Is there, might be somebody listening, most youth are in school still at this hour, but we would have parents or grandparents or aunts and uncles listening and say, you know what, for so-and-so, Jim or Sally or whatever, 4-H might be something that they would be interested in look into. Is there a master list somewhere of all the Butler County 4-H clubs? Is there an online place where you could look that up?
There is. If you go to the Extension's website, it's extension.psu.edu, or if you just simply Google Butler County Extension, Penn State Extension, you'll come up to our webpage, and you'll just click on 4-H and clubs, and you'll see a whole listing of clubs, mm-hmm. or you can call us at the Extension office.
And where do they, I assume that the clubs meet, at least a occasionally, I don't know how often, but where does that take place?
Yeah, most clubs meet once a year. Oh, I'm sorry, once a month, not once a year. And they meet at different places. A lot meet at the farm show grounds. A good many meet down in the Saxonburg Sarver area. We have a couple up towards West Sunbury. So they're kind of spread throughout the county.
Which makes it nice.
Yes. You know,
especially if... as many of these youth would not be of driving age yet.
Correct.
So that would be a big help to family members who might be chauffeuring them to a 4-H club meeting. Does it cost a lot to be a 4-H member? There must be a nominal fee for something, for record keeping or something like
that.
Yeah,
it's a $20 material fee, and that gets you for the whole year. That'll cover all your books, any other kind of resources you get from us, that $20 covers it.
So why is it, what's Penn State Extension got to do with this? Have they kind of taken over the planning and the curriculum development for 4-H now all over the state?
In a certain degree, yes. They are the ones that approve what curriculum the 4-H'ers can use. They're kind of like the entity that covers us. So they're kind of like the name out there that everybody sees, and then they see 4-H and kind of just brings it all together. But they... like I said, they get all of our curriculum for us, approve it. They help with some financial things and planning events and things like that.
Well, Penn State, of course, Penn State University started as an agricultural school way back when, 1859, I think it was. And so obviously, and they still have a huge college of agriculture within the university. It's one of the largest colleges at Penn State with all kind of experimental barns and all that stuff. So they know that. They know the other areas of some of the 4-H clubs you've mentioned. The university has great programs in child development and family relationships and food science and that sort of thing. So you know that the curriculum, the program books that they're getting are research-based, and they're worthwhile if they're developed by the university.
And yeah, that's Penn State Extension's whole thing is getting research-based information out to the public for them to use and apply to their everyday lives.
We'll take a quick break. We'll talk a little bit more with Amy Metrick. It's nice to have her here with us today. And we'll talk a little bit more about the public auction coming up, too. Again, you don't have to be connected with 4-H in any way. It's just a nice way to help out the kids, really, cover some of their travel expenses whenever they're going hither and yon during the year. And one of our sponsors on the program today is the Society of St. Vincent de Paul in Butler. I love the Society of St. Vincent de Paul. They are such selfless people. They have very, very few paid employees. Most of it is volunteer work. And there are people that work in the Society of St. Vincent de Paul food cupboard down on Elm Street in the Lower Institute Hill area. They have a client aid program that sometimes can help people out at the end of the month with a utility bill or a rent payment or something like that, especially in the wintertime. And they also run their Society of St. Vincent de Paul thrift store in the Greater Butler Mart. In fact, all of their other programs are partially funded through the proceeds of the thrift store. We mention that because we're entering that time of the year when a lot of people, I know it's on my list of things to do with the holidays just around the corner. I got to clean up a little bit, right? Been a long time since spring cleaning took place, and I'm not quite sure I ever finished, to be honest with you. So if you are cleaning up in advance of the holidays, cleaning out a room or a closet or a spare bedroom or whatever, don't just throw stuff away that you don't want or don't need anymore. We don't need to put any more stuff in the landfill. Think about donating it to the Society of St. Vincent de Paul Thrift Store. Greater Butler Mart, very easy to get to, free parking, very easy to donate items. And remember, all of the proceeds from the operation of that store stay right here in Butler County. So you'll be helping directly and feel pretty good about it, too. They like to say we stand tallest when we stoop to help others. It's a wonderful thought by the good folks at the Society of St. Vincent de Paul here in Butler. Thrift store, Greater Butler Mart, same side of the Greater Butler Mart as Friedman's Fresh Market, about four doors up, plenty of free parking right at the door. Society of St. Vincent de Paul. We shall return in just a moment.
Midday lottery numbers for you today. The pick 2 is 1313. The pick 3 is 741. The pick 4 is 5810. The pick 5, 06284. Wild ball for each of those is 1. The treasure hunt is 10, 14, 15, 18, and 29. Estimated jackpot for tomorrow's treasure hunt is $80,000.
When is the best time to talk to your family about staying in touch during a disaster? When floodwaters reach your door? When wildfires are engulfing the edge of your neighborhood? Or an earthquake is destroying buildings? When a tornado is tearing through town? Or a hurricane strikes? Or is the best time, perhaps, today? During a disaster, you may not be able to stay in touch with your family or friends as easily as you think. And it's not always as simple as using your cell phone. That's why now is the time to take action. Go to ready.gov/communicate and make your emergency plan today. Don't wait. Communicate. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Welcome back, good friends. Wednesday edition of It's Your Turn, halfway through the first week of October. I know, I can't believe it either, but there we are. Our guest on this segment of It's Your Turn is Amy Metrick. She's 4-H educator and youth development coordinator for Penn State Extension here in Butler County. You say you were 4-H. You were a 4-H kid all the way through 18 years of age.
Yep, I was.
Valuable for you.
Oh, very much so. Made me decide that I wanted to go to college and pursue my future in something agricultural related. So I got my degree in horticulture and business and came back home and help at home on my family's farm and do this during the day.
Yeah, you have a big family farm. In fact, nice feature on your father.
And yes.
Butler Eagle a couple of days ago.
Yes.
Pressing apples.
Yep, apple cider. It's that time of year.
Yeah. So you have a degree in horticulture. I didn't know that.
Yes. My associate's is in horticulture and my bachelor's is in business management.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's great. We want to talk about, in case you aren't with us at the beginning of our program here today, the public auction to benefit Butler County 4-H. First of all, it's coming up Saturday, October 21st. So let me see. There's this Saturday, and there's one more, and then it'll be the one after that. So we're two or three Saturdays down the road here. It takes place at the Vagabond Center in Lindora.
That's correct. Yeah, doors open at 4:30. The auction starts at 6. At 4:30, you can come in, browse the items, see what there is, grab a bite to eat, and stick around and buy something.
And all the proceeds from this auction, how will they benefit Butler County 4-H? What will the proceeds be used for?
All the money that is raised comes back to Butler County 4-H, and they will be used to send kids to camps. We have a couple regional camps here, and we're part of the Northwest section. And then there is state camps that happen out in State College in Harrisburg. Then there is the National 4-H Congress, which is in November, and we have a young lady going there, and that is helping fund some of her trip.
Mm-hmm. There is a leadership club too, isn't there, something like that, in for Butler County 4-H? Don't some of those kids go to Harrisburg once in a while for state work?
The Youth Council.
Youth Council. Thank you.
Yeah,
I couldn't think of the right term.
What it is there's a kid from each club that is nominated by their club to come, and that club plans all the events for the year, the kickoff dance. They help with the petting zoo and the 4-H dance at the farm show. And they'll help with the achievement banquet here in November. And those kids take all this information and take it back to their clubs so the others know what's going on.
Yes, there is a social aspect to 4-H as well. It's not all hard work.
Yes.
After all, hard work and no dancing make Jack a dull boy. Amy, it's good to see you.
Well, thank you. You too. I'm
glad that you've received a permanent appointment as 4-H educator and youth development coordinator. It's going to be busy, though. You got a lot of work ahead of you here.
It is.
You've got 30 clubs to oversee here.
Yeah, at least we're going into our quiet time of year, so I can kind of get all my ducks in a row before we get real busy in the spring.
Mm-hmm. Amy Metrick visiting with us today, and we'll look forward to seeing you, hopefully, over the next several years.
Yes.
And again, public auction to benefit Butler County 4-H. You don't have to have any connection with 4-H to go. you might pick up, well, you will if you're have any skill at all. If you're the high bidder, you might get some of these things at a really, really, really good price, because they do go to the high bidder after all.
That they do.
Yeah. Saturday, October 21st, Vagabond Center. They start auctioning stuff off at 6. Doors open at 4:30. No charge to get in.
No charge.
Charge if you're a successful bidder,
yes,
to walk out.
Correct.
Yes. Coming up on tomorrow's program, it's an Ask the Lawyer Day. We do this occasionally throughout the year, and we do it in cooperation with the Butler County Bar Association. And tomorrow we'll be welcoming local attorney Julie Anderson for Ask the Lawyer, 12:30. Also tomorrow, guests from the upcoming Musical Theater Guild production of Beauty and the Beast. It's a wonderful, wonderful, relatively new musical.